from WGBB, 1240 AM on your dial, Long Island's oldest radio station. It's time for...
Listen up. Jesus is on the air. Scared you, did I scare you? I hope I scared you. Boy, listen up.
You know? Scare me all the time. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. This show is designed to bring back fallen away Catholics. We hope you didn't get hurt too bad when you fell, but we want to bring you back, and we want to make you aware that Jesus is on the air, and he's out to get you. And that was Dr. John Palmer, the famous Catholic Man of the Year Award winner.
Thank you. And that's Tony Schifo, the famous...
I'm famous. And John is going to look great on your Twitter invite.
Oh, yeah.
Award.
If I ever get employed again, I'll be happy.
Such a beautiful award. Hey, Bob, would
have
award
in never. Thanks. Never. And we have three lovely women with us today. And it should be quite a fascinating show. Some of them have never met each other before. And we were going through the interviews, and it was amazing to see the similarity. God chooses everybody, Tony, doesn't he?
Absolutely. God sent you people here. He really does. We'll find out. We'll see why. Stay with us.
And also, he chooses the music, Nick, who likes to criticize the music. He chooses every song we play. And we hope that, Nick, you'll be upset.
Get ready. You're going to be on in a few weeks.
Well, why don't we just lower the music and let our guests introduce themselves. And if you just move up close to the microphone, and we'll start. Meg, we're going to start with you.
Hey, my name is Meg Albertini. I live in Merrick. I'm married. And I have three lovely daughters, Kristen, Kira, and Caitlin, and a wonderful husband who's my high school sweetheart, Mark.
Oh, he's not so nice. I know
here
Mark.
We met him. We know him.
We know him.
We met him. He's a good guy.
Meg, thank you for coming here today.
Thank
we know you're just off retreat.
Yes.
And for those of you who don't know what a retreat is, that's when God attacks you.
That's true.
And he changes your life. That's a retreat. How about you, Kathy?
Hi, my name is Kathy Rashido. I come from East Rockaway. I am married to Joe. I have two great children, Kristen and Colin, two beautiful grandchildren, Sean and Matthew. And I am a parishioner at St. Anthony's Church in Oceanside, and a nurse by trade.
Okay, and we're going to hear your story as well as everyone's story as we go on. And Lee, how about you stepping up to the mic?
Hi, I'm Lee Polino. I am married to a wonderful, wonderful husband.
I know Steve.
I'm sure he's not listening. And I have two wonderful boys, John Paul and Christopher. They're the light of my life. And I live over in Port Washington.
And we invited Lee here today because back a year ago now, last August, Lee is the person who was responsible for bringing the relics of St. Margaret Mary to our diocese, where 17,000 people came and venerated those relics. And it was all over the diocese. Lee, I don't know if you know this, but when you approached me with the relics from St. Margaret Mary, just to show you how knowledgeable I am, I didn't know who St. Margaret Mary was. I mean, I knew about the Sacred Heart, but I didn't know about... I mean, I knew something about promises and everything else. And she and I got very close all during that week.
I know that. As a matter of fact, one of the priests that that was in charge of it at first, he felt that St. Margaret Mary was not one of his favorite people, and then he actually grew to love her and actually promote veneration of not only St. Margaret Mary, but really the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It was just a means for people to come to Jesus and to, you know, come back. And Jesus is always in our hearts, even if we're away from him. And especially when we're away from him, he's actually closer to us when we don't really want him to be close because he's carrying us through all the hardships. So anyway, it was quite an adventure and experience getting, you know, St. Margaret Mary the relics here. Not many people were interested who really cared about a saint that lived 300 years ago, but it all happened. It all happened in God's time.
There was a miracle associated with this, too. I'll tell the audience all about it. You know what the miracle is? Newsday promoted it. It was in Newsday again, and they gave the schedule, and I spoke to the reporter from Newsday. I shouldn't tell the whole story, but I will. And he said, you know, I don't want you to think Newsday is anti-Catholic, but I said, well, I don't think Newsday is anti-Catholic, but I do think one of the reasons why we're having the relics here is to convert Newsday.
And John, it really was a miracle. Don't you remember when St. Adam's, when the rainbow came right over the church?
One of the nights we were finishing, we were in eight churches, and one of the nights was at St. Aidan's in Williston Park, and the lines kept on coming and coming and coming, and always at each place we had a priest to close up the veneration. But at St. Aidan's, for some reason or other, we never put that together. No, Techie Jonides, who was also involved with putting this together, came up to me and she said, we don't have anyone to close this night. How are we going to ever close it? And with that, a woman comes down the aisle saying, Dr. Palmer, we all have to go outside. I said, what do you mean we all? You gotta come. So I said, okay. Went outside. There was a rainbow over the church. And if that's not a miracle, if that's not God.
It was absolutely magnificent. The rainbow was distinct and prominent. And it was amazing.
Lee, we like talking with you, but you're not going to say any more. And we're going to put you in. You've got to be quiet now. And Kathy, tell us a little bit about how you have come into a knowledge of God.
Being born and raised Catholic, going to Catholic school, I did what every good young Catholic girl does in our teens and goes away from the church. And straight into a life of alcoholism. Not that everybody does that, but it was my road. And God makes good out of everything. And I just am so grateful that I am able to sit here today and say that I'm in recovery for 22 years.
Wow.
This
Wonderful.
Week, as a matter of fact. I didn't realize that until I came here and started counting the date.
Did I ever tell you I'm a recovering Catholic?
Me too.
I went from a head Catholic to a heart Catholic. So
it works if you work it.
Yes, I work the program. Go ahead.
So not to throw the baby out with the bathwater, I decided, well, I'll go back to what I know best, and that was the church. And of course, Mother Church, being who she is, just received me in so beautifully and graciously. Started going to Mass, decided one Lent to go to daily Mass, just out of, I don't know, just the Holy Spirit drew me in. And that was the beginning of everything, really, through the sacrifice of the Mass, how God entered my heart, and just blossomed from there. Also through the Rosary and Mary. Mary just, I could go to my mother, you know. I just needed a mother's love, a mother's arms to bring me up out of that pit that I was in. There was a lot of healing to be done, you know, a lot of water passed under a bridge that I didn't want to cross over. So I needed the touch of a healing mother, a loving mother, to be able to recover spiritually, mentally, physically, in all areas. And she did that for me through the power of the Rosary and prayer. And took that journey with her, and then was able, through her heart, to go to Jesus. You know, Jesus was not something I was familiar with. I wasn't really, you know, I was one of those people that made fun of the Jesus freaks, you know, in her day, you know. So, you know, that was a bit of humble pie for me, and just started to become closer to Jesus, you know, and through the divine mercy. You know, all these prayers of the church, you know, it was a wonderful experience. And then...
Mary has a very soft spot in her heart for people who have addictions. So anyone who is a Catholic or non-Catholic who may be listening, if you pray to the Blessed Mother, not to be too formal. Just say, Mary, will you be my higher power for a while?
Absolutely.
And she'll lead you to Jesus.
God is in all those steps for a reason. You know, I think I went to a meeting one time in Woodstock, of all places, New York, and somebody was complaining about taking God out of the steps. I just started to laugh. I said, well, God is the steps. Don't you understand?
And once you establish a friendship with Mary, she invariably leads you to her son, Jesus.
Absolutely.
Very slowly, she just says, have you ever met my son, Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Please meet him.
Mm. And from there, the hardest relationship I had was with God the Father. Mm-hmm. But through a beautiful ministry, I learned how to, the gift of contemplation and meditation, and was brought to a very deep understanding of how the Father truly loved me, you know, and that relationship broke open for me. And just recently this month I lost my own father, so it was very poignant, and it's been a wonderful journey. And I became a nurse in sobriety, became a grandmother. It's just the beauty of life has broken open. Yes, there's sadness, there's life on life's terms to meet, but it's just been a wonderful experience, because you travel it with the Lord. You travel that road to Emmaus, you know, even though today they're brokenhearted on the road to Emmaus and fearful. You know, the Lord showed them that he came to open up the scriptures and open up, and that's what he's done for me. He's opened up the scriptures.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, as we were preparing for this show, Lee had brought in a relic of the Blessed Mother's veil. Mm-hmm. And we were praying, and as we were praying, I was really kind of led to realize that today, being Holy Saturday, Jesus is not in any of our churches, because he's away releasing the people who were waiting for him to come, who have gone before us. And for Mary, today, Holy Saturday, was kind of a lonesome, sad day. And so today we're with Mary, but she ended up not being lonesome, as we're not, because Jesus dwells in us, which is what you're talking about.
The Lord took me on a journey through the Triduum this year, and he made me go through the joyful mysteries, and the sorrowful mysteries, and the glorious mysteries, not the glorious mysteries, but the luminous mysteries, through the eyes of Mary. You know, when you sit there on, you know, at 12 o'clock on Thursday night, you realize Jesus is being taken out of all the churches, and you walk the walk of Mary, and you realize that she's going to go to the foot of the cross and remember the visitation, the annunciation, and the birth, and you feel it through Mary's heart. It's a whole world that opens up to the heart of Mary, and that strength and that love and that sorrow.
That happened to me one time. I went to a day on Mary. I don't think I told you this, Tony, and all through that whole day, I could really almost hear Mary saying, stop, what has he done? Why must you crucify him? He's my son, leave him alone. And I could feel the pain she had.
Mm-hmm.
And for people who are in pain, who are mad at the church, who are grieving because they've been lost someone and unhappy that a loved one is gone, go to Mary. She'll carry you through that pain. Tell me you were going to say something. I guess I moved to the mic.
No, I was just going to add to that yes, Mary is a great and central mother. She's been through it all. She's been through raising the child, going through the hardships, loving seeing her son die, which I think is the biggest horror anyone can go through, and she's been through it all, and she knows. So if we go to Mary with our problems, she understands.
And especially parents who have lost children, she knows, and she'll be there. You know, so it's wonderful. Meg, we didn't give you a chance to tell us a little bit about you.
I think with my journey to the Lord, it was the sacramental life. Baptism, I think the gift of God, the person of God placed in my heart at baptism, really began to unfold through my life little bit by little bit. But the marriage to my high school sweetheart was where love was really personified
in a human way by his loving, his gentleness, the person of who he is. And I think God used him profoundly to allow me to open, to receive more love, to be moved into each person of the Trinity, to gather in who Jesus is and to understand and have fun and delight with the Holy Spirit, and then to be swept into the heart of my Father. All sprung from the love of my husband. And that's why I think my journey is sacramental. It started with the sacramental life of the church, with a loving partner in marriage, being called into prayer and learning who I was as a child of God, who I was as a wife and a mother, and that that's enough, and that I was whole and complete because of Jesus' sacrifice, and that I am enough right now as I am, I'm whole, and God is still inviting me for more. And I think that beauty, that is where we live, and the relationships that we hold dear, and to trust that God is working in that place, and capitalize, utilize the sacrament life of the church, because that's its gift for us.
And you know, on this weekend, since we can't go to church, he's in our hearts. Mm-hmm. So we're going to invite Trevor, every listener, to come into the water. And while you're listening, come into the water. Let Jesus enter in.
They got to court. This is the waters of baptism that we're singing about.
Right.
This is the waters of conversion and cleansing. And this is the time of the year for conversion and cleansing. It's so powerful.
It is.
Giving the living presence of God at that moment. We were literally swept into a family of God. And we really need to learn how to live from that reality, because Jesus has done it all for us. And we need to be able to walk the way he sacrificed his life for us. We need to walk that way and receive it. It's a gift that's for all, that's waiting to be received.
Uncle John, I just need to add another statement. And as the song was playing, I'm getting the thought that this ends the 40-day journey. 40-day journey that brought us joy, brought us healing, brought us great sorrow, but it's going to end in great joy, because our Lord and Savior is going to resurrect himself, and he's going to come back to us.
I had the funniest Lent anyone could ever have. I was told in my prayer life that this will be a very happy Lent for you.
Praise God.
A happy Lent. And in my prayer life, I was wished, happy Lent. I said, you got to be kidding. I'm supposed to be suffering. Yes, you've had your sufferings. Now is the time for joy. And just like you said, Tony, joy is here.
Joy is here. And you know, we all remember Jesus, and we all think of Jesus from his suffering, and he gave up his life for us. But I think he also wants us to remember him for his love for us.
And for his resurrection.
Resurrection. And his story is truly the greatest love story ever told. And I think he wants us to know that, how much he loves us.
And he pours out that love and makes it to the sacraments. When that song was playing, I was reminded of an early, it just came back to me in sobriety, that it was my first Holy Thursday. And at that time, they gave out both the body and the blood. And I was my journey right back to the church, and I received communion. I received his body, and I walked straight into the cup, and I froze. It was wine in that cup. As a recovering alcoholic, what do I do? So I walked past it. And I left the church, and I walked for miles, and I cried, and I cried, and I cried, and I cried. I said, I'll never be able to drink that cup. And then, as God would have it, I came upon a beautiful, wise old-timer, and I asked him about that. I said, how do you deal with that? He said, well, what do you think it is? And I thought, I said, oh, okay. Until I believe that it's truly the blood of Christ,
the blood
I cannot...
of life.
Blood of life. I cannot approach that cup. And one day, maybe a year or two later, I was able to approach that cup of life.
And praise Jesus.
Lee? Just move in.
A couple of years ago, it was, I had a dream, and I was in the darkness, and I was in a cave. And all of a sudden, this incredible, incredible light comes out of the cave. And it was an Easter morning, and I felt like I was there witnessing God coming to life, showing us the light in the darkness of the world, in the darkness of our hearts, because he is truly the light at the end of the tunnel. He's the beginning, and he's the end. And if we don't really go back to him, we will never truly find peace, either in this world or in the next. And, you know, a lot of things come to me in my dreams, and I don't want to be a hog over here, because I'm sure everyone has even more important stories than mine. But that Easter I'll never forget, because it was so powerful, and the light was so real, and being there, it was just really like being there. And sometimes we all have, I mean, I think we've all had those dreams. And it's kind of like when we do have those dreams, it's like God is trying to tell us something. He's trying to tell us, you know, I'm here, and I'm going to reach out to you the way you need to be talked to. You know, some people need dreams, some people need music, some people need something visual, some people need a horrible, horrible accident, and some people just need joy. And you know, but he all reaches us in his own, in our own special way, because we're the ones that are going to have to actually kind of judge ourselves. Maybe God doesn't really judge us. Maybe we're the ones, once we realize how much he did love us, we're going to feel so badly that we're the ones that's going to be hard on. So we hope for his love and mercy.
You know, when I think of him, he's timeless love. And he would tell me every day in Lent, Merry Christmas, John. I said, what? Merry Christmas, John. I'm here to give you my love. Oh, and by the way, happy Pentecost. I know it's not Easter Sunday yet, but I have resurrected you. I have touched you. You know, for people who listen, is that you guys are Catholics and you sound more like Trevor, who's a Baptist, sitting up there smiling at us saying, what do you guys see? Of course, you know, God comes into our hearts, just like Lee had said, in the best unique way that touches you. And those of you who are away this Easter, you're probably restless and unhappy and searching, and that's exactly the way he wants you, because then you're open, then he can come in, then he'll touch you, you know. And, you know, St. Teresa of Avila said, unless you experience the presence of Jesus in you, you can't explain it to anyone. So those of you who are out in the wilds of life and following the values of the world of man, you're going to be brought up short this weekend. It's Easter weekend, and it's Easter weekend in the Catholic Church, in the Orthodox Church, and we just had Passover. Is God telling us something, Tony? What do you think?
I think God is telling us that his son Jesus is for all of us, not just us Catholics, but it's for all denominations. He loves us so much, he gave us his only son.
And he's for sinners, isn't he?
Oh.
And who's our saint today?
Today's saint is Saint Mary Magdalene. And she's such a special saint because I'm going to make my testimony brief, because I found that one of our guests is a follower and a devoted to Mary Magdalene. And I'm going to say
two of them.
Two of them. And so this didn't happen. This was preordained, I'm sure. So I'm going to say my small, I cut my piece down very short.
I like it short.
Thanks, Uncle John. Mary Magdalene first came across Jesus, I believe, when Jesus drove out seven demons from her. And from that moment on, she became a devout follower of Jesus. She followed him all. I think she could be considered an apostle to the apostles, because she just adored Jesus and followed him. At Simon's house, she was there. She washed his feet and dried it with her hair. She was there when he was crucified at the cross. Tomorrow's reading, one of tomorrow's gospels, tells us that she was the first one to see that the tomb was empty with two other Marys. And she ran to Peter to tell him that the tomb was empty. And above all, she was the first one to see the risen Jesus. Jesus chose her to be the first one to see. And in those days, women weren't thought so highly of by the Roman Empire. And so when she went to say that the tomb was empty, they didn't believe her. As a matter of fact, I believe the Romans told their soldiers to say that the apostles came and took Jesus out of the tomb, because they didn't want to give any credence to a woman. But she was there, and Jesus chose her to be the first one to see him when he rose. And so that's so very simple. But all the others that I have to say, I'm going to turn over to Kathy, because Kathy revealed to us at our pre-meeting that she's a devotee of St. Mary Magdalene. So, Kathy,
that comes up in conversation.
And I'm convinced this was preordained. And this has happened several times to us when we've chose saints, right, Dr. Palmer? It's just we happen to choose a saint that one of our visitors was a devout devotee.
And it's that life, I guess, before and after that you see with Mary Magdalene that is so special. You know, she comes to Jesus as a sinner. You know, and although it's not mentioned that it's Mary, but you know, the church kind of like took on that role when Jesus wrote in the sand. And he said, woman, is anybody there to accuse you? He says, well, neither do I, you know. Go and sin no more. You know, and I always think that what he was writing in the sand was my life, the rest of my life with him, you know, the journey, you know. And you see Mary becoming such a central figure in the followers of Christ after that. Women have such a responsibility in the family, in the workplace, you know, because our hearts, we're meant to nurture our hearts. We're meant to go out and be poured out to God's children as nurturers, as mothers, as spiritual mothers, whether you're a biological mother or a spiritual mother, we're all meant to be mother. And even, you know, I have to tell you, remember when the Da Vinci Code came out and that little science fiction story of Mary Magdalene and Jesus and all that. And I have to tell you that he used that story, and I read the book. Only because I wanted to know what everybody was talking about, because people would approach you if they knew that you knew anything about the church and about Mary, you know, about the saints. They would approach you and say, well, what do you think of this book? And I would tell them the true story about Mary Magdalene. And, you know, our world kind of warps the beautiful situation of love, you know, between Jesus and ourselves, and tries to make it a worldly relationship, you know, and it's not the case, you know, the beauty of heart to heart, the heart that Mary Magdalene had for Jesus, and the same for Jesus for Mary, was just a beautiful love story of chastity, of purity, and of deep, deep love, Jesus's love for all of us.
I'd like to add, too, that anyone who is far away from Jesus and in sin, come back. He can forgive anything, even your deepest, darkest secret. There's another person here who has a story to tell about Mary Magdalene. She's going to be sorry she rode in the car with me on the way out, because she told me
that I took the right thing today. Praise Jesus.
Well, when I was a little girl, I was in Venice, and my cousin was Monsignor of St. Mark's. And in the treasury, they actually have a relic of the arm of Maddalena. And I was very fascinated by it as a child. I mean, it was almost kind of gruesome to actually see, you know, her whole forearm. But fast forward now, I really identify her as the repentant sinner that just loved Jesus so much that she probably had a different kind of love than the apostles and the disciples did of Jesus, and Jesus realized it, especially when she anointed his head and his feet and dried his feet with her hair. I think that's probably what the apostles were probably a little jealous of, because they kind of realized that, you know, who's this woman, this sinful woman? You know, she's hanging out with the Lord, and he kind of he loves her. And the fact that he chose to come to her and she to see him on the day he rose was just a testament to, whenever we do sin, there's forgiveness and there's love. And because there's forgiveness and there's love from God, we love him even more. So I kind of identify with, just like Kathy, with the sinning person, repentive, sorrowful, but then, you know, Jesus wants us back and loves us. And I can identify with her because I have not been such a good girl.
But we'll never tell.
But the main thing is that Jesus' arms is always open for us, always ready to accept us, no matter who we are or what we've done. He's there. All we need to do is approach. Please still finalize our London journey with the disciples, and hopefully it was an interesting journey with all the learnings of all these sons.
I learned a lot about the apostles that I didn't know, and it was really quite special. But I'm glad we ended with Mary, because, hey, aren't we all not such good boys and not such good girls? And don't we have a lot that we have hidden in our closets and we don't like to talk about it? Trevor, can I ask you, would you put on the next song? I'm so task-oriented, listeners. I have to have everything done. And if I'm not done, I go home and say, oh, what did I do? I didn't do the show I wanted. Jesus is the light of the world. Let's stay there.
Like to reintroduce our guest, if it's okay. So we have with us Meg Albertini, and we have Kathy Pizzuto, and we have Lee Paolino. And welcome, and thank you. And each one has such wonderful stories to tell us and such great sharings. Thank you for those sharings.
And I have a question. How do you draw others to the light? How can we draw others to the light? How do we get other people to experience the kind of relationship that we have?
Go. Can I answer that?
No.
Am I allowed?
You can't.
You're the executive producer, and you were just reelected as the executive producer. John, I think.
And Lee almost fell off her chair with that.
That's why I hesitated in my conversation, by the way. I think the light is always shining. I think the light of Jesus is always there. We need to look for that light. We need to search for that light. And once we see it, it just gets brighter and brighter and brighter. And that's my own little humble opinion.
Meg, you're ready, I can tell.
I think we need to learn how to be Easter people.
Yay.
And live joy.
Amen.
Live in joy.
You know, enough of the suffering. Not that we don't have suffering. And not that Jesus didn't suffer and die. But the message is, resurrection has occurred.
Yes.
And he's in us. And he's come to us. And he is lighting the fire inside of us. Kathy?
James 1, count it all joy, like makes sense. You know, if people see you walking around mopey and weepy, and they're like, you know, that's not attractive, I'm sorry. You know, we want a joyful, and Easter people, like Meg says, you know, you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and people look at you and say, there's something different about you, I want what you have.
You know, he gives me words at times, right? And he said to me, you're such a grump and a grouch, you're like a porcupine. Who the hell would ever want to hug a porcupine? You know, and if you're a porcupine or if you're a grump and a sourpuss, how are you going to ever attract anyone to the light? And that's really what we got to do. And it's not phony. It's for real.
So if you want one day, you know, and you feel the Holy Spirit, you know, dwelling in you and you're in your room, just jump up and down, shout for joy, and just be just a joyful person. Just sing, praise the Lord. You know, that God lives in the praises of his people. You know, when we praise the Lord, everything changes. You know, when you sit there and something's bothering you or something, just thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord, for this day, for this moment, for who I am, for this next breath I'm going to take. Everything changes, and no matter what's going on in your life, you have the Holy Spirit with you, and that is the light of the world. It's that light that went on to live through Jesus Christ. Jesus and the Father's love is the Holy Spirit, and that's what we are. We're Holy Spirit people.
And if you have all this negative stuff in your head, I wake up every morning loaded with negative stuff, every morning. And I have to start my day by saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. One time in prayer, because I pray a lot, I tell you, I have to pay rent at this church, but in prayer I was told, you have to write my name 100 times. So, and I won't speak to you again until you do. I said, well, this is crazy. I mean, it's bad enough thinking I'm hearing words, but now I got to write his name 100 times. So I said, nothing. There was nothing. I was all right, I better do it. So I started writing, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I finished. I said, okay, I'm done. That's only 97. I had to write it 3 more times. Now, does that sound crazy that Jesus would relate that way? That's what he does. It's so unusual that he'll come and touch us. Now, that's why he touches me. Mark is touched by music, your husband. And I listened to you describe Mark, and I know Mark. I mean, he's not a gentle person. Come on.
You know, the way you described your husband was so beautiful.
Yes.
I thought that was amazing. It really is. By the way, my wife and I have been going out since we were 14. So we're going to be celebrating our 50th wedding anniversary.
That's the power of the gift to the vocation of marriage. It's a vocation, you know. I've been married 3 times, you know, from my diseases and things like that. Look, always looking for love in all the wrong places. That was a song back in the 70s, you know. And you know, until you come to a relationship and God is the center of it, you will not experience that kind of love. You know, when you're looking for the love of the world, you won't get it. But when you look for the love of God in a relationship and your marriage becomes a vocation, that's when it blossoms. That's when you know that it's till death do us part.
And you know what? I often wonder, how in the world, Jesus, did she put up with me for 50 years? How did she ever do it?
That's a miracle that Jesus
does. That's the Jesus does that.
To quote my husband, he always says, love is a verb. We see it in the life of Jesus. We need to live it and do it in our own lives as well.
And love is a decision. It's not feelings. Sure, there are feelings, but feelings come and go. And when they go, you have to decide to love your mate. Mm-hmm. And I've been married twice, and I've been through all different things and with my wives. I tell people I'm very good at being married. I kill my wives. They all die on me. But it's a decision. But you know what? I know something. I was angry at both of them after they died. Because some they're dying. You're leaving me here all by myself. But you're never alone. See, it's a decision, you know? And that we can get anything across to people. Loving Jesus is a decision. That doesn't mean you're going to have a bed of roses. That doesn't mean everything is going to be hunky-dory 24/7. It's a decision. And the hardest decision to make is really when things are going well. When you're in trouble, it's easy. I love you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I love you. But when things are going well, hey, I can drive this car myself. I don't need you anymore. You know, that's the hardest decision. Tony, you gonna say?
Yes, I just want to say, it does mean, though, that Jesus is your best friend. And you can give Jesus your problems. And he's asking for them. He wants to carry them for you. And if you do have problems, and you offer them up to him and ask him to take them and carry them for you, he will. He may not relieve you of them, but it'll make it easier to bear.
I have one more pet peeve. I have another pet peeve about relationships.
You're loaded with pet peeves.
I am today, right? I used to think I had to be perfect to earn his love. And I found out.
To his disciples.
Yeah, you're not perfect. You know, you never will be. In fact, in prayer, he told me, the job of being perfect is already taken, and I don't see any openings in the foreseeable future. You know?
Right?
And it's a gift. And all he wants us to do is say, yes, I'd like your gift. I decide to accept your gift. I decide to follow Jesus.
And it's his love that makes us perfect. It perfects us, you know, when we start to open up to him and we see the little warts and all, you know, that we have. And it changes the frog into the princess, you know. And it's his love that radiates. His love that turns everything around and makes us beautiful.
And he so much wants to be our best friend. He does. All we have to do is make him our best friend. But when you think about it, isn't that so awesome that your best friend's father is the creator of the universe? So why not, let's make him our best friend.
And he knows that secret room in our heart that we want to hide from him. I don't want you to know this, Jesus, because if you know this about me, you won't give me that gift. But he already knows what's in our heart. He knows the secret that we carry, and he heals it and forgives it.
And doesn't Jesus say, you know, in prayer, go to your room, close the door, go in there and pray. Go to that secret room in your heart that you don't want anybody to know about, you know, and release it to him, and he'll just change it. He'll change everything. And I never knew how to really pray, and I was brought to a point where, through a ministry of meditation and contemplation, and really a whole new life was exploded for me when I went into that room of contemplation. He took every part of my life and opened it up and poured his love into it and healed it. You know, so my anger, my fear, my frustration, you know, my need to be perfect, so the world would see this perfect image of this perfect woman, you know, had to be torn down and built up again in his love, you know. So we need to go constantly into that room to be made perfect, like my Heavenly Father is perfect. That's the perfection he's looking for, to open up that room in our heart.
And when he says, go to your room, I used to get that as a kid, but he doesn't say, go to your room to be punished. Go to your room to be healed. And we have a section on our show on healing. And we're going to move into that section now. And I have a healer of the day. And my healer is Father Ralph DiOrio, who has a healing ministry up in Massachusetts. And he's been healing people for years. And I went there several years ago to a day that he had, and he was praying over people, and I ended up being a catcher. That's before my knees gave out and I could catch people who would fall down in prayer. And there was a woman catty-corner in crutches, and he was praying over her, and there was like a crack of electricity, and she fell down. And he smiled and went on all around. and came back to her later and said, "Hey, why don't you get up?" And she said, "I need my crutches." He said, "No, you don't." And she walked without her crutches, hadn't walked in years. And he's been doing that healing ministry for so long, and just shares the power of God's love. Trevor, could we put the song on before this one, the cut before? Because we'd like to pray with people in quiet prayer. That's our grand finale song. That's all right. Here we go. And this is music created by Denny Bouchard. And the name of the songs and the album is Healed by Love. And it's put out by, I'm blocking on the name of the publication, Paulus Press. So if you ever want to get it, it's Healed by Love, Denny Bouchard. We have all of these petitions right here before us. And this is the time that we just ask everyone here just to extend your hand and pray for each of the petitions. We're just going to quietly go into prayer and kind of a And Jesus, we know that you're here with us now. We felt your presence, and warm by now also the presence of your mother. So that to me that means that the real healer today is the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Unity in love. Unity in love. Going out across these airwaves and over these petitions. As we place people here in prayer, we pray for Ellen, whose sister died. And we pray for Marita and Teresa, who have lung problems. And Lord, we pray for everyone here. Those of you who are here with me, any petitions that you want, feel free to share.
For Audrey and her family, and for healing in the whole family, for Kay, and the death of her mother in law.
I pray for my son who's in Pilgrim State and was beat up during the week and moved to a safe place. And Lord, we thank you for leading him to safety.
I'd like to pray for the family of Matthew.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
I'd like to pray for the family of Matthew Meek. He had a sudden heart attack, a 25-year-old boy. He's a friend of my daughter's. For him and his entire family to be wrapped in God's love as they move to bury their son. I'd like to pray for the Nano family. They just lost their daughter Angela.
Give you praise and glory, Jesus, for healing baby Victoria, 3 years old, from cancer. And the prospect is that it probably will come back. So we give you praise and glory.
And we pray for Liz, who has Chiari's disease and is healing. I spoke to Liz on the telephone, and I tell you what I did. I said, "Liz, when your dizziness is going to go away and your heart palpitations are going to go away," and I signed her up. Tony, she's going to be here the second Saturday in August to give her testimony.
Praise God.
We're putting a time limit on Jesus for the healing. Come on, Jesus, get going.
Here's the golden mustard seed, right? I'd like to pray for all the priests, past, present, and future, those that have given us sacraments from the moment we were born, our first baptism, to the sacraments of the anointing as we pass through this life, for all those priests and those that will be in formation, those seminarians that will be priests, to pray for them.
I want to pray for Father DiOrio. I mentioned him as a healer. Well, I went up to Massachusetts recently to his healing service, and in the middle of Mass, he collapsed on the altar. And we were terrified. We thought he died, but he didn't. Obviously, he's going to be here in July. But he hadn't eaten in a day or two. He had no sleep because the night before the day of praying for healing, he was unable to sleep. He was bothered and harassed spiritually. He came out on the altar and passed out. But he came back and finished Mass. Play that again, Trevor. Thank you.
And I'd like to ask Jesus to lift up all those petitions that we have here on the table. There are so many and so assorted. People out of work, people with depression, people with sicknesses, people that are just need your help and need your love. I ask that you lift them up, Jesus, and you give them your help and your love. And let them know that you are there and truly.
And I have his word. I am the light of the world. I am Jesus the Messiah. I call out to all of you who have walked away from me. And I call you to the depths of your heart and tell you, come home. Come to reconciliation. Come to me in the Eucharist. Make this Easter, Christmas, and Pentecost for you. Let my love bring you back. Let my love resurrect you. Let my grace, the sanctifying grace, and the actual grace of my words on this radio show become incarnate in you so that you return to me.
And so if you have petitions you would like to share with us, you can email them to us at listenup1240@AOL.com. That's LISTENUP 1240@AOL.com. We will respond to each and every petition and each and every email.
And Trevor, we're going to ask you to put on the big finishing song and loud so we can't talk over it.
Are you going to sing, Dr. Palmer?
No, I'm not.
Hallelujah.
But you're going to dance. I'm putting a gun to your head. You're going to dance. Where is it? Where are they? Are they out there? There, make them loud. This is for everybody. Trevor, I want you to put go on microphone and I want you to sing with this. Come on, Trevor, let's go. You can do it. You know this. This is a Baptist song. Spanish, do you have that song? Do you sing that song in Spanish? People for the next show in here, that's why you don't have it. Oh, come on, we have to get you translated. More love, Jesus, more power. Cut across cultural lines, go with the Greek people before us and the Spanish people after us. Touch them with your love and your power, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We thank you. See you next week. Thank you, people, for being with us. Thank you. God bless you. Happy Easter. He has arisen.
Amen.
Happy Easter.
Station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.